Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Palestine isn't just a news headline. It's a reality millions of people live every day. Quds Day reminds us that this struggle isn't just about one land or one people. It's about justice for everyone. With all the challenges, from occupation to political pressure, many wonder, what's the real path forward? Can anything actually change? Let's have an open and honest conversation about what's happening, what resistance really mean, and how we can make a difference. Welcome everyone to your program, The Viewpoint from IRIB English Radio. This is your humble host, Sayed Ali, and here I am with dear brothers in faith, dear brother Sayed Zain. Assalamu alaikum, dear brother.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Good to have you here. And dear brother Sheikh Danish, really good to have you here, brother.
Thank you.
We have been seeing heroic acts from Palestinian people, dear Sayed. So we've been seeing some apocalyptic scenes during this huge, amazing resistance of Palestinian people. Why they are like that? Why they are so strong in their beliefs? And they insist on, you know, keep doing resistance. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
So definitely, as Sheikh has pointed out, it's not possible without Allah's help. Mm. And even when you see that, you know, a lot of times when they're going through difficulties, they're remembering Allah, they're citing the verses of Allah. During resistance itself, they are reciting these verses. So definitely that's the case, that Allah's help has been there for them. But it is truly, truly amazing, as you said, and it's mind baffling, right? That people are able to do this. That, you know, the way that they have been bombed, the way that they have been killed, the way that, you know, the basic necessities of life have been, you know, deprived. They have been deprived of them.
Yeah.
And even after that, they are so resilient. Even after that, they are fighting back. Even after that, they are, you know, they're still there and they have that will to do this. It's truly amazing. I think for us to kind of not having experienced that, I don't even think we can imagine what that would be like.
Yeah.
And inshallah, you know, like if us, if we're to be in those kind of situations, we pray to Allah that we are able to hold on to our faith and closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the same way that they have been able to do it. It's truly, truly amazing.
I have seen some of these images during this formidable war, like movies. It's like so surrealistic for me. I couldn't even believe what I'm seeing in front of my eyes. And I guess resistance should definitely pays off at some points, inshallah.
So with regards to the videos as well, unfortunately, I didn't have the heart to keep watching them as they were coming. They were just so, and these people are living through it.
Yeah.
It's truly amazing that they were able to, you know, bear that. But one point I would say over here for, you know, the listeners, you know, in different countries, is that there is an effort to minimize, put to the side, the suffering of the Palestinian people, to not concentrate on it, to not let these videos reach the people.
Mm-hmm.
But anybody who has an open heart and open eyes, they would see the extent of the suffering, right? That the true, because, you know, these a lot of these, you know, news agencies, they try to cover it up. They say that, okay, you know, it's lies. The Palestinians are making up these numbers of dead people. It's for the Palestinians making up. But really, I think if somebody is honest to themselves and goes and does research of what has happened, they would come to this conclusion that what has happened is truly, truly, truly horrific.
Yeah.
There's a reason why, you know, Trump is, you know, the president is saying that, you know, in a way that a natural disaster came and all these houses got destroyed. No, Israelis destroyed them. They destroyed them on purpose and they killed people on purpose. And I think we have to people have to open their eyes and look at this and realize this.
And they kept doing it while the whole world was saying, stop it, enough is enough. And they just kept doing it and on purpose. It was unbelievable.
And they were proud of it. They were proud of bombarding these ordinary houses, hospitals. They did it on purpose. And the first hospital that they hit, they said it was a mistake. But then it continued until every hospital that was functioning got destroyed in the process.
Yeah. So, Sheikh Danish, the U.S. and Israel have long sought control over Gaza. What are the biggest obstacles to their plans? And what strategies have proven successful in countering their influence, in your opinion?
Yes. So the biggest obstacle has been the will of the Palestinian people. And we have seen this over a period of time, that although the Palestinians are a small group of people when we compare it with the global help that is reaching the Zionist entity, but the Zionists are invaders, or they operate in that territory with a colonial mindset. Mm. So they can only go to a certain distance, yeah, right? Although some of them are religiously motivated, and therefore they might be able to sacrifice more, but a majority of these people, what has been their history? Mm. They have been collected together from different parts of the world with the promise that you are going to a land which is, of course, in their words, promised land, but you will get a good house, you will have a good life there, you will have no troubles, and a very rosy picture is painted for them.
Remind me of the Crucified Wars when the Pope said, yeah.
Yes. And so when they come to realize the reality of the suffering they're inflicting on the Palestinian people, and this 16-month period was also a very good lesson for the Israeli public, mm, that all is not rosy and hunky-dory in the land that was promised to you by these politicians.
Yeah.
But rather, the Palestinians are willing to fight. They are willing to sacrifice. And they are willing to sacrifice 10 times or even 100 times more than you people, because you are not natives of this land. All of you have passports and you have second nationalities. You have dual nationalities. At the very drop of a hat, you are willing to fly out of these territories and go back to your native countries or wherever you came from. And so this willingness to fight for your land, and this ability of these people to leave this land and not to sacrifice for it, is the basic defining thing, in my opinion, that even with the help of so many foreign powers and without any restrictions, and even some of the Muslim rulers are colluding with the Zionist entity. We see that even Turkey, which is called the center of this land, it had a continuous supply of oil,
yeah,
that was reaching the Zionist
oil
entity.
Metal. So
yes,
many things.
And so we see that this is like backstabbing your Muslim brothers, and it is not possible that you say that you are believing in the Muslim Ummah and nation, and you keep supplying the Zionist entity at a time when they are committing genocide. So all of these things, the willingness of the Palestinian people to fight for their cause, is the basic thing and the defining thing that is there.
Thank you so much, dear brother Sayyid Zain. From boycotts to social media activism, people around the world have found ways to stand with Palestine. In your view, what are the most powerful ways that the individual can, you know, raise awareness and make a real difference?
So I think the a very important thing that needs to be done is spreading awareness, is making sure that the truth reaches everyone. Because there is a very strong push to have the truth not reach the people.
But some people would argue against it by saying that, you know, the videos, the clips are out there, and people can, you know, take and see all the footage regarding the wars and Palestinian situation. They just don't want to jeopardize their, you know, job situation, mm-hmm, job careers, whatever they have.
So I don't think everyone is in that boat.
Huh.
There are certain people like that, but it's just the control over the media that some of these corporations and some of these politicians and the power has, that they're able to, you know, the term is used, manufacture consent, mm, right? That even though, yes, the truth is there if somebody goes and looks for it, but because they're bombarded so much with falsehood that they believe in it.
Yeah.
They're like, everyone who's, you know, on the news, they can't be lying, but they are lying. Right.
Yeah.
So the truth has to be made clear.
It neutralizes the effect of it, the effect of the truth.
Right. So basically, you know, try to get people away from the, what's it called? The
like mainstream media.
Yeah, mainstream corporate media. Try to get people away from mainstream corporate media. Try to get them to these alternative news sources, more honest news sources. Try to get them in touch with, you know, like the actual footage that's been coming out from Palestine. So I think that's very, very important, that the truth has to be made clear and spread. That if this truth is so strong and so potent, that if it, you know, it reaches a normal person, it wakens something in them.
Mm.
That, you know, this amount of suffering, this amount of, you know, the genocide that's happening, you know, no, I have to do something about it. And that is the natural response of somebody who does learn to, you know, gets to learn this truth, right? There's something within us human beings that when we see injustice, especially to this extent, that something awakens within us.
You want to do something about it.
Yes. So a lot of people are like that. Yes, there are people who are, you know, who suppress that and who say that no, make excuses for it. And they are, you know, truly different grades of it. But somebody like, you know, the president of the United States, he knows what's going on.
Yeah.
But he's truly evil. Right. So, you know, there are people like that. But generally people, you know, when they're faced with the truth, something awakens in them. And I think that is very, very important to spread the truth.
Dear brother Sheikh Danesh, what would be a free and independent Palestine look like? And how would the world be different without Zionism?
True. So there's something that is called the one state solution that is presented by even some of the Palestinians. And the Islamic Republic also has put it, put forward the one state solution. And in this one state solution, basically the solution that is presented is that Palestine could become a place where Muslims and Jews and Christians could live in harmony. But it is for the Palestinian people, the original representatives of that land.
Is it like something we have in Lebanon or in Iraq?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Before the Zionist entity as well, people from all faiths and traditions were living in the Jewish, in this Palestinian land.
Mm.
And we had Christians, we had Jews, and we had Muslims living side by side. It was with the arrival of the colonial project of Zionism that Muslims were forced out of their land. The Christians as well were forced out from their lands. And these were the original people, and they had to migrate to different countries, to Jordan, to Lebanon, to Syria, and throughout the world, Egypt as well. So what we have as a solution is that for the Palestinian people to decide for themselves. And if they want to allow the people who have migrated after 1948 to these territories to live side by side with them, they have to live with the concept of one person, one vote. And if these people agree to it, because many of them will leave.
Mm.
What will happen is that because they saw Palestine as an ideal state for the Jews from all over the world, they thought that this is a state where we are only allowed to have the most rights and everybody else is a second grade citizen.
Yeah.
But no, everybody will have equal status in front of law. It could be a land like South Africa. For example, apartheid was the practice in South Africa in which whites had
superiority
in every term over the blacks or the African natives of that land. But what happened was that with the passage of
Nelson Mandela.
Yes, Nelson Mandela and the movement of liberation of South Africa, this apartheid regime was demonized and it was boycotted by the entire world, and it gave way for more equal rights for the rest of them. So something along those lines is possible. But it is for the Palestinian people to decide how to proceed from here. But what we as the global community want to stress is that this apartheid regime is not going to survive. Not only it is illegal, it is also impractical that something like that can survive over the long run, because the people are committing genocide, they are committing violence against the local people, and this is something that is going to die its natural death, inshallah.
Inshallah. Thank you so much. The last question for Dear Sayyid, and I do, you know, demand for a brief answer. So with Gaza devastated and most of the Palestine is still occupied, I think like 80% of it, is there still hope for a free and independent future?
Mm-hmm. So I would say there's more hope now than ever before.
How come?
Because the global population has woken up to some extent to what is happening. Because the resistance is alive. The resistance is, yes, you know, there's a lot of houses that are destroyed, but the resistance is still there. The people's will is still strong and perhaps even stronger than before.
Mm.
People throughout the world realize what the Zionist regime is, its reality. It's, you know, shown it to us clearly, right? So I think there is more hope now than ever before. And inshallah, you know, if the believers, if the people of the world, they keep resisting, they keep, you know, doing what needs to be done, then, you know, this state, the illegal state, the Zionist state won't survive.
Thank you so much, inshallah. Despite the devastation, history has shown that resilience and justice can prevail as long as there is faith, unity, and commitment to truth. Hope for a free Palestine remains alive. Thank you for listening, dear audience. Till another episode, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
شفعة أنا لها